So can a person lose their salvation? No. Yes.
Oh boy. All right, guys, welcome back. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and you're listening to Bibleline. Today, we're reacting to a video that tries to answer the question, can a person lose their salvation? This is Time of Grace with Pastor Mike. So let's go ahead and dive in.
Can a person lose their salvation? Can someone who's forgiven, saved, adopted into the family of God, like if they took their last breath, boom, they're out of that danger, they're going to be with Jesus. Can a person lose that? There are some really great Christians, smart Christians, Bible-loving Christians that I know that have different answers. Some of them say, yes, that can happen. And others say, no, the Bible says that can't happen. When I read my Bible, I get why people give two different answers.
So I want to stop there for just a moment. I understand where he's coming from with this, and I believe the reason why people get two different answers is because of a lack of understanding context. Okay, we have to understand that there are passages that are speaking to a direct group of people, and those group of people for interpretation should not leak into the application. However, I don't necessarily think that it's okay to say that because I know people who have an opinion of yes, you can keep it forever, and no, you can lose your salvation, that should not inform how we view Scripture. Now, he's going to get into some Scripture here, and he's going to look at some great passages like John 10, 27 and 28. He's going to look in the book of Philippians. He's going to look in the book of Romans. But there are so many other ones that he could have used. And again, I'm not trying to attack him personally. I'm just saying there are clearer statements than the ones that he chooses to pick out. And you're going to see why he chose those when he goes to the verses that he says, this is how you can know your salvation is not secure. So let's let him speak on this.
When I read the Bible straightforward, I kind of get two different answers. There's a whole bunch of passages that I love that would say, no, if you're saved, God's not going to lose you. Let me rattle off a bunch to you. I think it was John chapter 10. Jesus said, I know my sheep, right, my flock, and they know me, and no one will snatch them out of my hand.
All right, we're going to stop there for a moment. He's using the NIV, which I jokingly call the non-inspired version. If you study how the NIV was translated, I think you'd be shocked to see how many liberties were taken. It's not really even a translation. It's like I can't think of the word right now, but it's not something where it's a word-for-word translation. It's like a bunch of people got together and made an opinion on what this should say. Anyway, if you look at John 10, 27 through 28, Jesus is speaking here and he makes this statement. This is in the KJV. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So this is a very clear statement that those who believe, they know Jesus Christ because they've believed on him. He knows them. And out of obedience, they follow him. That's not a condition for eternal life. That's a description of the parable that he's speaking about here. He says very clearly, they shall never perish. Now, we know that there is always going to be the risk of physical perishing, the death that we experience here on earth as a result of sin. But the perishing that Jesus is securing here is they'll never go to hell. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Out of the verses that he uses that we're going to look at, he's going to use two more here to support that you cannot lose your salvation. I think these are the strongest. Verse 29 goes even further. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's what this passage concludes with. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. They understood the implications of what Jesus was saying. He's saying, my power is equal to that of God the Father's, whom you say you worship, but you deny me. And so the important thing to recognize here is there's double security. They're in the hand of Jesus in John 10, 28. They are in the hand of the Father, God, and no one is able to pluck him out of the Father's hand, and Jesus and the Father are one. So this should answer the question right away that no, once a person has put their faith in Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can happen to take them outside of this adoption into the family that has occurred. So let's let Pastor Mike continue.
In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul talks about those that God has predestined and chosen, he called. The same ones he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified.
All right, let's take a look at that. I think that's also a great place to go. Romans chapter 8, he started in verse 30, and he makes the statement, I'm reading the King James Version here. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. The passage does not stop there. It goes on into probably some of the most famous verses that people use to support that the Bible teaches eternal security. That's verses 38 and 39. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come. I think this would include the action of the believer themselves, the state that they're currently in and the state that they may be in the future. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are found in him by faith. That's in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. I would say, again, we have another rock solid passage that if he were to go further into detail on the full context, it would answer any doubt. Let's take a look at the next one here.
The book of Philippians has this great comfort. The one who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion.
Right. The one who began the good work, which started with you putting your faith in Jesus Christ, he's going to keep you until the last day. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says that. I want you to see this because I think this is very important. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment for something that we've yet to receive, but we're going to receive until the redemption of the purchased possession. So we are sealed until we are redeemed, either physically or at the rapture, unto the praise of his glory. That all pushes and promotes eternal security. On a basic reading, not jamming in theology or trying to satisfy one or the other. Now you're going to see where he turns here, and he's now going to show you some verses that I think it's important we talk about that he uses as support that you can lose your salvation. And I think the rest of the video will be shocking to you to see how he uses these.
All right, so can a person lose their salvation? Well, we'd say John 10, Romans 8, the book of Philippians. Well, no, God's going to keep them. But then, there are these other passages. Throughout Paul's letters, when he's speaking to brothers and sisters, he warns them about losing their faith. Or Jesus, in the parable of the sower, Jesus said this.
Now, we pause the video there. You'll see it's here in the NIV. I think the NIV's translation is so poor here that it's worth going to the actual context. So let's do that. I'll let him read it, and then we'll go to that passage.
He said, those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. They believe for a while.
Now, you got to understand what that means and what Jesus is talking about in this parable. Because it says that they believed, and Jesus has said earlier in his ministry that if you believe, you receive everlasting life. So what is the context of the parable of the sower? Is it as a means to justify and show you these are people who are really saved and how they will behave? No, I think the parable of the sower is those who receive the word and either they never believe, they believe and they fall away because of persecution, they believe and they fall away because of the temptation of the world. I don't think the parable of the sower is a parable about this is how you know people are saved. I think this is a warning from Jesus that even people who believe on me, they may turn away from me later because of these things. And he uses it as a illustration, a farming illustration. Seed goes down, some take root, but they fall away because of, as we see in verse 13, they are on, this is Luke 8:13 in the King James Version, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, for which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that doesn't mean that he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you, to those people. But they will suffer the loss of reward because even though they believed on Jesus Christ, they fell away when temptation arose. And then verse 14, and that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they had heard, go forth, are choked with the cares and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. There is a reality where there are signed, sealed, and delivered believers that do not produce fruit. And this is why John 15 is so important, about bearing some fruit, much fruit, more fruit, or no fruit. You're still a believer, but how productive are you? How profitable are you to God and the work that he's doing? But I want you to see very clearly in verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they which hear, then the devil cometh and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So it's very important. Jesus says it right there. They could have believed unto salvation, but they didn't, because the word was taken away from them. Then verse 13 says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, which I believe would not nullify what he said in verse 12. They're saved in that moment, but they fall away. They're not profitable in times of temptation. And then, of course, he's got verse 14, which we read about. Those people are choked about with the cares of this life in this world. And then he says in 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So over the process of time, they bear fruit. Why? Because they're obedient, not because they're really saved, which is how Pastor Mike is using this.
But in the time of testing, they fall away. You know, Jesus didn't say, you know, they kind of look like they believe, or they profess to believe, but they really didn't. He straightforwardly says they believe, and then they fall away from the belief that they had. Hebrews chapter 6 is a classic paragraph. Those who have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and then they fall away as they trample on the grace of God.
Yes, I know this one almost by heart. I know how to explain this passage and how this passage should be properly understood. And I do not want to do it a misjustice or kind of like a surface level approach. We will do a video on this verse alone at some point. But I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 4 through 6. Because again, the translation that he's using does not bring a good understanding. So let's take a look at it. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul is in the middle of warning. This actually starts earlier in chapter 5. They have not grown up into maturity, these Jews who are now Christians. They're tempted to go back into Judaism. And he says, he uses some very specific salvation language in verses 4 and 5. Then he makes a statement in 6, and that goes through into verse 12. But he says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, I believe that's a salvation statement, they were enlightened, they have tasted of the heavenly gift. This is the same word that was used in Hebrews 2, and that Jesus tasted death for every man. So I think if they've tasted of the heavenly gift, that means they believed unto salvation. And then even further, my support, I think, is made very clear by a plain reading where it says, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1 that we looked at earlier, you're sealed. That comes by what? Believing. And have, verse 5, tasted the good word of God. That's the same Greek word of tasted that's used in 2:14 and in 6:4. And the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. And this is not necessarily saying they might not ever fall away. There's a chance that every believer can fall away into false doctrine or just into the pride of their own mind. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. This does not mean that they are unable to be saved again. It means that there is no need for them to get saved again. They would be crucifying themselves. They would be crucifying the Son of God again, of which he's only died once. This means that there could come a time where people become so calloused in the way that they are living in their sin and in their rejection of Jesus Christ, even though they've put their faith in him, they may not ever be able to change their mind and get back on track. And then he uses this illustration about a field, and the field, one of them has thorns and all these briars and things. It's got to be totally burned because it's not profitable anymore. And we know that burning, I think, is an illustration of the fire in 1 Corinthians 3, which will judge every man's work. But it's impossible for someone who is saved to be renewed unto repentance again, to put their faith in Jesus Christ again, that they are now put into the idea of they're condemned, separated from God, their sin is put back on them, because of statements in John 5:24, which says they're passed from death unto life and they'll never be brought into condemnation. So he uses these two references to say, well, you can lose your salvation. So let's see what he says at the rest of the video.
And the message of Jesus. So what's the answer?
What's the answer?
Both things are true, but they're meant for different people.
This is, when I see stuff like this, I see he doesn't have a clear answer. And he's got two pressing questions that are very important. It's the difference between heaven and hell. So he just says, yes, no, it depends on who I'm talking to. That's dangerous.
You know, I've met people who were baptized and they say they believe in Jesus, and yet they seem to be living in sin.
That's also, when I watched this clip, I thought that's interesting that baptism was included, because water baptism doesn't save a person. I'm not sure if that's where his position is. We'll just go on.
They're doing this or that, this and that, and I'm concerned and I want to talk to them. They say, it's okay, Pastor, I pray. I trust that Jesus died for all of my sins. You know, I know that I've been saved. And I want to say to them, but you can lose your salvation.
See, and this is important, because the Bible does not say that they can lose their salvation. Romans 3 says that they're justified freely. By what? Faith in Christ. So what's true of this person who says, yeah, I've trusted in Jesus Christ, but I'm just going to continue in sin? Well, Hebrews 10, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You better be careful, thinking you can live as you please and get away with it. There will be severe consequences in this life and at the judgment seat of Christ, where you will lose the rewards you could have had. And that's not something to be taken lightly. A whole generation died in the wilderness because they did not believe that God was able to take them into that promised land. Do we think that God has changed? That's really the whole book of Hebrews, by the way, about not falling away. There's seven warnings to the believers there. But there's none of them that say, you need to check to see if you're really, really saved, because then what determines whether a person is saved or not? Their works. And that's against what the Bible says, not of works lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9.
And I've sat at the coffee shop with the teenage girl who's weeping because she's so scared that she's too weak. Her faith is too small. Jesus is going to slip through her fingers. Do I say to that scared girl, well, you know, technically, you could lose your salvation. Hebrews 6, Luke chapter 8, Matthew 13. No. Instead, I say, John 10, Jesus has you. He knows you. I know it's a lot to take in, a lot to consider.
Yeah, it is a lot to take in and a lot to consider, because he is promoting being a respecter of persons. What he's saying is, to the person who's living in sin, you should tell them they should be afraid to lose their salvation. But to the young girl in the coffee shop who says she's too weak, you should assure her that God will never lose her, that she'll never be forsaken by God. That is a critical biblical error, because we are now molding the word to meet our needs instead of letting the word mold us into a pattern of what is true and what is not. This is a major problem that's happening. I can look at the person who's living in sin and say, you better not think you're going to get away with this. God will bring judgment upon you, chastening upon you. But I cannot say to that person that you've lost your salvation, because then I could lose my salvation. Who am I to think that are my bad works still not really sin in the eyes of God compared to this person's sin? The Bible says I'm forever justified. And then to the person who's struggling with their salvation, struggling with assurance of salvation, I can give them that assurance that's in the Word. But I shouldn't twist it and bend it to meet the need of the person who I'm talking to.
Consider, it's really the foundation of the Bible, the law and the gospel, two things that are true that seem contradictory, that are perfect for the human heart at the perfect time.
This language, perfect for the human heart at the perfect time, it's so empty. By the way, you want to understand the difference between law and grace. I think it's a great place to look is in Galatians chapter 3. I want to go there for a moment. It says, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. How about that? But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's the purpose of the law. These two are not contradictory. The law condemns you as a sinner and points you to the Savior. They're not contradictory. They're not perfect for the human heart. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We cannot say to one person who's living in sin, you are back under the requirements of perfection and you now have sin reapplied to your life. And we cannot say to the young girl, well, because you're sweet and innocent and you would never harm a fly, but you still have a sinful nature, well, you could never lose your salvation. Neither of those people, if they put their faith in Christ, can lose their salvation. But for the person who's struggling with unbelief, they also are subject to chastening, but they need to have clear Bible teaching to so they can understand why they should believe, not into eternal life, but for the Christian life. And then to the person who's living in sin, they need to understand that God will discipline them. We don't change the contents of the gospel because we're talking to two different people. Continuing. Verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So no, the law and grace are not contradictory in that they are supposed to be perfect for the human heart. The law points you to the need of the Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. And I get passionate about that because this is leading people astray. I'm not sure what his background is, Pastor Mike here, but he's being used by the devil to keep people lost. And that's a serious thing.
So can a person lose their salvation? No. Yes.
Oh, boy. Well, I think I've said all that I can say on that. If you have a question, send it to us. Questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. I look forward to getting you an answer as quickly as we can. Our channel is growing, so we're getting a lot of feedback, and a lot of it is positive, a lot of it is negative, but people are sending questions and we're doing our best to get them answered. And you guys are sending us videos like this. So if you have a video of somebody who's teaching something that is opposed to the Bible, send it to us and we'll take a look. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.